Welcome to Prompted, the podcast where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. My name is Eric, and I'll be your host on this journey of creative exploration, where the boundaries between words and imagination blur. New episodes of Prompted will be released every Monday, so be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or you can listen directly from our website, thepromptedpodcast.org. In each episode, I explore creative writing through in-depth discussions in our deep dive segments. I will also feature my own original poetry and other writing inspired by the writing prompts from the previous week. And to keep it going, I'll share a new writing prompt at the end for you to try. I'd love to see what you're working on. Share your writing with me using the hashtag #PromptedPodcast on Blue Sky. I'm always eager to connect with listeners and hear how the prompts are inspiring you. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's creative writing journey. This week, we're diving into subtext, those invisible threads of meaning that run beneath what's actually written on the page. Have you ever read something, a line in a poem, a bit of dialogue in a story, and felt like it cracked something open inside you, even though the writer never came out and said what was really happening? Sometimes the most powerful writing isn't about what's said, it's about what's left out. Think about how often we speak in half-truths, glances, and gestures. How much of our real lives happen between the lines? That's what subtext is about. Writing that trusts the reader to sense the undercurrent. And when it's done well, it lingers. It expands the meaning beyond the sentence. So what makes a line linger in the reader's mind long after they've read it? In this episode, we'll explore how to use subtext to create deeper, more powerful writing. Whether you're working on a poem, a short story, or revising a draft, learning to say more with less and to write what's left unsaid can help you connect with readers in a more honest and memorable way. This week, we're looking at writing the unspoken. How to work with subtext in poetry and story. What is subtext, really? Subtext is the meaning beneath the surface, the tension, emotion, or truth that isn't stated outright, but still comes through. It's not about being vague or withholding for the sake of mystery. Subtext is about intention, choosing carefully what to say and what to leave unsaid. In fiction, it shows up when characters talk around what they really mean. A line like, "I guess it's late," might actually mean, "I don't want to keep having this conversation." In poetry, subtext lives in image, structure, and metaphor. You don't need to write, "I'm grieving," if the poem already hums with silence and absence. What makes subtext powerful is the way it invites the reader to participate. Instead of spelling everything out, you leave space. Space the reader steps into, interprets, and feels. That act of discovery is what makes the experience of reading and writing so satisfying. It's not just communication, it's connection. Why it matters. Writing that suggests rather than declares often leaves a deeper mark. Why? Because it reflects how we live. We don't always say exactly what we mean. Sometimes we can't. So we hint, we pause. We shift the subject, and we're wired to notice when others do the same. Subtext works because it mirrors that unspoken reality. It gives your reader credit. It says, "You'll feel what I'm saying, even if I don't say it directly." And when the reader meets you there, when they get it, you've created something more than comprehension. You've created connection. It's the ache behind a smile, the silence after a sharp line of dialogue, the weight of what isn't said. And when it comes to endings, subtext can be a secret weapon. If you listened to last week's episode on crafting effective endings, you'll remember how silence, ambiguity, and resonance can stick with a reader. Subtext is one of the most powerful ways to build that kind of lasting impact. Tools and techniques. So how do you build subtext into your writing, whether you're working on a poem, a flash piece, or a longer story? Here are a few tools to help you write what's unspoken. Focus on what's not said. Dialogue is one of the most natural places to explore subtext. Think about conversations where no one quite says what they mean. Maybe one character wants forgiveness but talks about the weather. Maybe someone's furious but all they do is clean, slamming cupboard doors and scrubbing harder than the situation requires. The tension lives in what isn't being addressed. In poetry, this might mean choosing an image that implies the emotion without naming it. Instead of saying, "I miss you," try, "The second cup still steams, untouched." Let your reader connect the dots. That's where the power lives. Use objects, actions, and symbols. A character tosses a birthday card into the trash without opening it. A poem lingers on the collar of a dress never worn again. These details carry weight, not because they're symbolic in a textbook sense, but because they mean something to the character, and by extension, to the reader. This technique is especially useful in microfiction, where every line has to work hard. A single gesture can reveal a backstory, a rift, or a longing. Let the image breathe. In poetry, white space matters. So do line breaks, pauses, and what you choose not to explain. The quiet around the image can be just as meaningful as the image itself. The same goes for flash fiction. Not every character needs a full backstory. Sometimes suggestion does more than explanation ever could. Subtext lives in those spaces, the tension between what's said and what's sensed. Control the reveal. Withholding isn't the same as obscuring. The goal isn't to confuse your reader, it's to guide them toward discovery. Let them suspect, let tension simmer, and when it's time to give something away, if you do, make it deliberate. Maybe you offer just a glimpse, or maybe you leave them in the dark, but with enough light to wonder. Either way, the impact comes from control. Subtext only works when you, the writer, know exactly what's underneath, even if the reader never fully sees it. How writing prompts help us practice subtext. Writing prompts can be surprisingly effective for developing your sense of subtext. Why? Because prompts disrupt your default mode. They drop you into unfamiliar territory, a strange moment, a specific image, a sudden constraint like a tight word count, or a single required phrase. You're not trying to explain everything. You're trying to evoke something within boundaries. And that's where subtext often shines. Prompts can also give you a little emotional distance. When you're writing about something personal or raw, it's easy to overexplain, to rush in and justify what you're feeling. But when a prompt introduces a surreal setting or an oddball character, you get to approach the subject sideways. That angle that restraint can open up space for the unsaid. Later in this episode, I'll read a few pieces I wrote from prompts, each one working with implication, tension, or silence in different ways. I'll also share how I approached the endings in those pieces and the choices I made to let certain things remain unspoken. And that brings us to your challenge for the week. Write something that doesn't tell the whole story. Let it circle what's unspoken. See what happens when you trust your reader to feel what your characters, or your speaker, can't quite say. That space between the lines, that's where subtext lives. Later in the episode, I'll give you a brand new writing prompt to try. When you hear it, think about how you can apply what we've talked about today, how you might suggest more than you explain, and let the unsaid carry some of the meaning. But first, I'll share a few of my own short pieces written from recent prompts and talk through the subtextual choices I made, what I revealed, what I left out, and why. Let's get into it. This first microfiction piece grew out of the writing prompt, pugnacious. The word brought to mind not just aggression, but a persistent nagging tension, something cyclical and unresolved. Rather than fight between people, I pictured someone resisting the peace they say they want. The subtext lives in the rhythm, the repetition, and what's left unsaid beneath the surface. Here it is. She slammed the window shut. Again. Same hour, same bird. It didn't flinch. Just tilted its head, blinked slow. Tomorrow, it'd come back. Like the argument she'd never win. Like the apology she wasn't ready to say. The second microfiction piece comes from the writing prompt, gregarious. It's a word that suggests big energy, bright rooms, and easy laughter. But as I wrote, I found myself drawn to what brightness might be hiding or reflecting. This piece explores performance and perception, showing how the most telling moments often happen when no one's watching. The subtext here plays with contrasts, sound and silence, presence and distance. It's light on the surface, but there's a quiet weight folded underneath. They laughed when he spilled punch on himself. He laughed too, loud, like clapping. Later, he wiped the stain with club soda in the dark kitchen. Told the fridge, killed it tonight. The fridge hummed, noncommittal. The third microfiction piece was inspired by the word adjudicate. While it's a legal term, to me it speaks emotionally about judgment, choice, and consequence. I wanted to explore a person refusing to choose between two people, maybe friends, maybe family. The subtext here lives in silence, inaction, and quiet presence. Here it is. She poured coffee for both, sat in the middle, listened to him blame her, then her blame him. She sipped. When they left, both slammed doors. She stayed, watched the cups go cold. Still didn't pick a side, but she didn't warm the coffee either. Now let's shift gears and explore those same ideas in poetry. Like fiction, poetry thrives on what's left unsaid, on the images and pauses that whisper instead of shout. I'll share three poems, each born from a single word prompt, where subtext shapes the rhythm and meaning just as much as the words themselves. The first poem was inspired by the writing prompt, vicissitude, which is really about change, especially the kind you don't ask for. I was curious what it looks like to resist that change or pretend it's not happening. The poem leans on objects and gesture. Everything unsaid lives in those quiet shifts. A poem about stillness, maybe, or the places we store that we're not ready to name. I call this poem The Jar on the Mantle. One day it held coins, then buttons, then the marbles she wouldn't part with. Now, dust. Still, she dusts it, never opens it. The cat tried once. It sits higher now. The second poem was written from the word prompt multifarious. That word is a beautiful mouthful. It means many forms or many parts. I've even used it in the title of my first poetry chapbook, Multifarious Dimensions of Meh, because it felt like the perfect way to capture life's messy variety. Here, I wanted to explore what happens when the many don't quite fit together. There's subtext in the repetition, the misalignments, the things we carry that don't show up on the surface. This poem lives in the layers we try to keep organized, even when something inside isn't. Here it is. Blue sock, green sock, two mugs, never matching, a list that starts and restarts and restarts. The same eyes each day, and something behind them getting louder, or maybe smaller. The third poem was inspired by the writing prompt, Puckish, which invites mischief, but also a certain kind of mystery. I wanted the tone to hover, something playful but uncertain, familiar but off-kilter. The subtext here lives in the in-between, what we notice but never prove, what we blame but secretly believe. It's a wink and maybe a warning. She blames the wind, or squirrels, or gravity, as if gravity were in on it. The candle moves. The books tilt. Sometimes her keys hide. Sometimes she does. The house winks, but never confirms. At the end of last week's episode, I shared a writing prompt inspired by a real-life moment from an author friend of mine, Sheila E. Young. Picture this. Her husband and son-in-law were working on the plumbing downstairs. Not once, not twice, but three times they warned her, "Do not flush." And then she flushed. It literally made it rain in the basement. She'll never forget their screams. Here's the writing prompt that came out of that moment. Write a story or a poem about a moment when something small triggers unexpected chaos, or an ending that comes out of nowhere and changes everything. I took that and shaped it into a short piece of fiction. Here it is. It started with a spoon. Harold stirred his tea counterclockwise, which he never did. The clink hit a frequency that woke something. A cat outside looked up and remembered it used to be a king. A pothole in the alley deepened by an inch and became sentient. Across town, a light bulb exploded just as someone whispered, "I think this is the one." Meanwhile, Harold sipped, shrugged. "Needs honey," he muttered. By noon, his mailbox was on fire. By 3, his ex called to apologize for 2012. And by 5, gravity forgot his name and left him gently hovering 3 feet above his recliner. He didn't mind. He'd always suspected the universe was held together with loose tea and a bit of string, anyway. Next, for my poetic response, I took the prompt in a more surreal, playful direction, still grounded in the idea that something small can shift everything. Here's the piece. Found it in the junk drawer, the melon baller. Set it on the counter. The ceiling fan stopped. The fish blinked. The rain went back up. A squirrel waved cars through with a stick of butter. Never balled a melon. And without further ado, here is this week's writing prompt. Your shopping bag rips apart, and all the contents tumble out at the feet of the person who lives in the apartment below you. Someone you've quietly fancied for a while. What does your shopping reveal about you, and why is it so embarrassing? This prompt is all about character, and not just the one you're writing. Think of it as an invitation to explore identity through the things we buy when we think no one's watching. Is it oddly specific? Overly practical? A guilty pleasure? Your protagonist's grocery list is basically a confession. If you choose to work with this prompt, try applying today's lesson on subtext, suggesting more than you say outright, letting your story hover around what's unsaid. Use the moment of exposure as a doorway into deeper meaning, trusting your reader to fill in the gaps. Feel free to play it funny, awkward, heartbreaking, or completely surreal. The moment of exposure is your entry point. What happens next is up to you. As usual, I'll share my response to this prompt on the next episode. Happy writing! Thank you for listening to another episode of Prompted, where we spark imagination one writing prompt at a time. Be sure to tune in each week for fresh inspiration. You can subscribe on our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, or find us on your favorite podcast platform.